The games are wrapping up and the scores are rolling in. This is your source for all of Central Ohio's high school football scores and live interviews with the winning coaches and players. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing.
So the guru always says that my glass is half empty, so we're not going to be that way tonight. We're going to be the glass is half full, and we have one more great show for you for the 2021 football season. Great games to talk about tonight. Week 3 of the playoffs. It is the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. I already talked of him, about him, the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports. We've also got our head coach here, making sure we're staying in line, Coach Larry Wolf. And Lee, was that a little better for you this week?
Well, it only took you 7 years and 12 shows to come to my way of thinking, and it's about time. But yeah, you know, we got one more great show, a show hopefully better than some of the games tonight.
I mean, that's kind of shocking, isn't it? Especially, I mean, most of these games involving Central Ohio teams, and let's be honest, there's not a ton tonight. They're almost all blowouts, Coach.
They're all blowouts, and that just happens that way. You get so wound up for the game, and then as soon as the tide turns, the dam bursts and everything goes haywire and you end up getting blown out.
And I'll be honest with you, Marysville, Whitmer, I kind of saw that could be a blowout. 49-7 now, Marysville leads that one. Pick Central, pick North, I actually thought that, and that's the closest one we've got right now, I actually thought maybe that would be about a 20-25 point game tonight. I just feel Pickerington Central probably wanted to put the knife to him from that loss in week number one. Maslin and Big Walnut, I'm not surprised it's 31-0 Maslin. Unfortunately, the Maslin, a three-time defending state runner-up. It doesn't really shock me. And Bloom and Heath, Bloom Carroll's winning 28-0 right now. That one doesn't really shock me. This Upper Arlington New Albany game is baffling to me. I did not see that, and I think if anyone tells you that they saw this coming, Upper Arlington leading 41-10, they are lying.
It's a running clock, and I don't think anybody saw that.
Well,
one.
It's what we talked about most of the year. New Albany had, you know, the close game against Pickerington North, a one-point game. Everything else was, you know, pretty much a blowout, including the win over Gahanna. And, you know, we talked to Coach Kidwell about that. You know, is there a concern? And he said, yeah, you know, a little bit, you know. But, you know, what is it, Coach? You know, when you don't see adversity, or is it just that Upper Arlington's that much better?
Now, you know, it's funny, whenever you see a blowout like this, and you know both teams are good teams. I mean, all the teams that are playing tonight are good football teams. They're no more pretenders. They're all good football teams. Coach Geyer, many, many years ago, told me when things like this happen and you get a blowout like that, you're never quite as good as the score indicates, and they're never quite as bad as the score indicates. It's just one of those nights where things just went haywire. I mean, for New Albany, they came out of the half. It was 28-10. Well, they gave up a late touchdown in the first half. It's 21-10. They're in the game, and they had a bad punt, a short punt, gave them the ball at the 25, and they punched it in with a few seconds to go in the half. Came right out in the third quarter, short punt again, gave them the ball at the 31, they punched it in. So you get 14 points, and you only go about 50 yards. So, you know, when bad things happen, they multiply, and that's just the way it works in playoff football.
And it seemed to be a case of, you know, New Albany trying to stop Greasock, and then Monon throws five touchdown passes. Greasock did get a touchdown, but, you know, it's, you know, we talked about how New Albany has the balance because they can go to several running backs, and that's their balance,
right,
and how they can, you know, kind of keep a defense unsettled. But
well, don't forget Brock Kidwell, too, running it from the quarterback spot as well.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when you've got, you know, Greasock, who's got over 2,000 yards, Division I District Offensive Player of the Year, you know, if you say, okay, we're going to stop him, then you better have guys back there that can cover, because Monon can pick you apart.
Well, Monon's got five touchdown passes tonight, and one of the problems you have when you play a team like Upper Arlington is the guys that are responsible for the pass don't have good eye discipline. They're watching Greasock in the back. You know, they know this guy can take it to the house at any moment, and so their eyes aren't where they need to be sometimes. And you get some open receivers. And And in the upper Arlington made a couple nice catches, a couple nice throws. The next thing you know, it's 41-10, and you're going to get beat.
Well, no matter what level you're at, you're exactly right, Coach, because no matter what level you're at, if you're caught dipping it, looking into the backfield a split second too long, that guy's by you or that guy's cut across you.
It's too little, too late.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was just going to say, that game, it looks like, has gone final. Looking for the final score here as we had our caller screen up there. They're showing another graphic right now. So it is final 41-10. Upper Arlington has won that game tonight. I'm absolutely baffled by that, guys. We have another final as well, too, in Division II, Region 7. Massillon Washington is moving on. They beat Big Walnut tonight, 38-0. Now, I will say, I'm not really surprised that Massillon won that game. I am surprised Big Walnut didn't score, Lee.
Yeah, with the way they've come in this year, I mean, you know, they've scored a ton of points. They've got, you know, Nate Sievers, who, you know, has run for a couple thousand yards this year. You know, I mean, you look at their scores. I mean, they've, you know, only twice all year have they been held under 30 points. You know, you expect them to score. Their defense have played tough all year. You know,
young kids, though. Sievers is a sophomore.
And their quarterback's a sophomore.
And you're going to go play against Massillon, Washington.
In the years you coach, have you ever felt sometimes the stage might have been a little bit too big for your kids?
Absolutely. I mean, it happens. It happens like that. You're going against maybe one of those vaunted programs. You go, oh, dear. You know, here we go, boys. This could, you know, and you have a feeling in the pit of your stomach that it could go that way. You don't want it to go that way. But you know they have a better chance of doing it to you than you do of doing it to them. You know what I mean? It's one of those, if we win it, it's going to be close. If they win it, it could get ugly. You know, there are games like that. You just know that that's a possibility.
Yeah, we talk about the mystique of Massillon, Washington. Do you think, you know, the players know that? Or are they just looking at this as a team that's lost in the state finals the last 3 years?
Yeah, both. Both. Yeah, I think the kids know. And that doesn't mean they're intimidated. That fires them up to get excited. But then everybody's got a plan to get hit in the mouth. You know, every now and then you get hit in the chops, and you don't like it very much.
Guys, we have a really good game going on in Division III, Region 11 over at Hamilton Township tonight. London just took over on its own 20. They trail Granville 15-14 with 3 minutes left. So this one coming down to the wire. The surprise in this game, Lee, Carson Crouch for Granville, their quarterback who hurt his knee at the end of the Watterson game, did not play last week in the game against DeSales. Started this game tonight and actually threw a 55-yard touchdown pass for the first score of the game. Unfortunately, though, he re-injured his knee and had to come out, and Tyler Ernsberger came back in.
Well, we talked to Coach Schroeder last week. You know, he said that they were going to see if Crouch could go. You know, coach, you know, how do you make that decision? Is that coaches, players, the doctors, combination?
The doctors make the first decision, yes or no. You know, can he hurt himself worse if he plays? If the answer is no, then the next question is, can he play? And then the next question is he better playing than our backup playing?
Yeah.
You know, and so you go through this series of, are we better off with our backup playing 100% or our starter playing at 70%? If he can't hurt himself, you know, now that doesn't mean he can't tweak it, you know what I mean, and he go out of the game like he obviously did. He went out of the game. But that doesn't mean he did more damage to the knee or to the ankle, whichever the injury is, so it's a series of decisions. The doctor's giving the green light, and the kid has some input in that too. He goes, I think I can play. Yeah, I know. I'm sure you can play. Yeah, Superman, you got that S on your chest. I got it. And then you go down the list of, well, are we better with him? Are we better without him? And all those decisions come into play, but it makes it easy when the doctors say no. It really does, because then it's taken out of your hands.
But do you ever tell the doctor to say no?
No. I'm a lot smarter than that. I'm not a smart man, but I am smarter than that. I was an athletic trainer for about 25 years.
Yes.
So I value those guys. I want them to be as dispassionate as possible. Make the decision. When you take a helmet from a kid, that helmet gets hidden somewhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not playing tonight. And then you'll see kids try to steal a helmet from somebody else. you're going to have something worse than a helmet to look for.
Something you would have done there, tried to steal the helmet and get back in there.
No, they were smart enough not to put me on the field in the first place. So it's, okay. It's hard to get hurt on the bench.
Guys, we have another final tonight in Division I, Region 2. Marysville, what's going on? They give it 14 points tonight.
Fire the coach. That's it.
Yeah, boy, they score.
They beat Toledo Whitmer 49-14.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I would think that the second touchdown probably came in a little bit of JV time.
Yeah, well, first of all, they had a running clock.
Yeah.
So second of all, I guarantee you, the young kids were in there, and they're going to have something to look at films. You know, hey guys, we're going to give you a chance to play. You got to play better than that. We're not giving up 14 points anymore.
But you look at what Marysville's done in the playoffs. Man. You know, okay, they beat Delaware 49-7. That's not surprising.
No. But they probably could have beat them, what, 70-0?
Yeah, sure.
But to beat Perrysburg, which was a pretty good ball club.
And a good defensive team.
Yeah, and beat them 42-6. Yep. And then they 49-14. That's going to be interesting. Well, that's going to be interesting this week. Do we have a final on the other one, Springfield-Finley?
I do not see a final in that one as of yet. This is one where the football math worked out, didn't it, Lee? Jerome earlier in the year beat Whitmer. Where is that score here? I'm looking for that score. 28-23, Jerome beat Whitmer early in the year. And, of course, Marysville beat Jerome 34-0. So, for once, the football math worked.
Now, here's my favorite football math of the week so far. If Springfield would win, and Marysville play Springfield. Springfield beat Dublin Jerome 34-0 last week.
Oh, baby.
Marysville beat Dublin Jerome 34-0 in week 6.
It'll be a 0-0 tie.
Guys, one thing, though, that is interesting, and we talked about this. Obviously, we don't know until the Final Four, till after next week, the regional finals come out, how they're going to break down the divisions and how they're going to play in the state semifinals. One of the teams we were talking about, would Marysville, and if they make it, win a regional final, and if UA or Pick Central, and it looks like Pick Central has won tonight, 27-7, whoever wins that game next week, they win. Would they have to play Marysville in the region after that, or would they go 1-4, go northeast to southwest to play Cincinnati and that? But anyway, that region one that's up in northeast Ohio, Lakewood St. Ed's is the number one seed, and they routed Canton McKinley tonight 42-0.
Well, they've never put both Central Ohio teams against each other. When Liberty and Pickerington Central won regional titles, they always kept it 1-2, 1-2, regions 1-2, regions 3-4. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason to stray from that. You never know.
Which is exactly why they'll do it. logical reason.
Yeah,
for it.
Well, I mean, it's what you said. You know, you could have if you went 2-3 and 1-4, you could have both games in Central Ohio.
Correct.
You know, but you know, I think it comes down to, you know, I don't know that they want to be perceived as trying to get a Central Ohio team guaranteed to be in.
So
there.
Do you think Marysville goes south, and if Marysville wins, and does Pick North or Upper Arlington go north? I mean,
I think it possibly depends upon who wins between Upper Arlington and Pickerington Central.
I think if Marysville wins, I would think that 2 would play 4. So Marysville would go to Cincinnati, and 1-3 would play. So the Pickerington Upper Arlington winner would go north. That's what I'm guessing. That's how that's how Division One usually breaks down.
But if Arlington wins, I could see them sending Arlington to play Cincinnati.
They could, but since Marysville is west, I'm guessing they would go straight south. I mean, it just depends. We don't know what the OHSA is going to do.
Yeah, we're guessing.
But
they don't even know.
I do know usually in Division One, that's how it breaks out, is 1-3 and 2-4. Mm-hmm.
Well, as I've said here a couple weeks in a row, I was part of a change in the regional semifinals, in the state semifinals, and that's not a fun thing when you're planning on playing the winner of one, and Ohio High School switches it up on you, does not make you very happy because you send scouts. Now they don't do it because it's all on the computer. But back in the day, mm-hmm. I'm sending scouts to a game because we're going to match up. That's the way the bracket is. We're going to match up with that other region, and then they switch the region. And you go, are you serious?
I don't get why they just don't follow the brackets.
Yeah.
I've never understood
if
that.
If you did that bracket in any other sport, they would go insane. If you did that in the tennis finals, if you did that in the swimming, I mean, if you did that anywhere, Baseball. Can you imagine baseball? You pick a bracket for that reason. You're going to match up your pitchers. You want to do it, and then they switch them. Oh.
So like it's been all playoffs, guys, 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing tonight, divisions 5, 6, and 7 playing tomorrow night. So what we're going to do, obviously the games are low. We don't have a lot of games to get to. We're going to preview some of those matchups coming up with the games tomorrow, and we will do that next. The first one we will do, we will talk to Newark Catholic head coach Ryan Aiello, his Green Wave, with a big game against East Knox tomorrow. We'll talk to him next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444-ROOF.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
When Pope John Paul II landed in Washington, D.C. and was greeted by then-President Reagan, the president said, "Welcome to the land of the free." And John Paul II said, "Free, yes, but free for what? Free for what?" It seems today that we define freedom as the ability to do whatever you want. Of course, doing whatever we feel like doing in the moral realm doesn't necessarily lead to freedom, but often leads to vice. Vice. That's the perfect word for it. It's a destructive habit that grabs us kind of like a vice grip and doesn't let us go very easily. Don't believe me? Think of your favorite sin. Now try to stop. Genesis 4:7 says, "Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and become its master." You see, freedom isn't the ability to do whatever we want. It's the power to do what's right. And ultimately, true freedom is the power to love. That's the kind of freedom Jesus Christ modeled for us in his life and in his death. And it's the kind of freedom he's inviting us to live in today. I'm Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list as a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries. Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Double-digit pay raises are history. Now money's a lot harder to get a hold of and even harder to hang on to. That's why State Farm agent Kevin Smith would like to offer you a free discount double check. He'll go through your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discount you deserve and aren't leaving any money on the table. So call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today, because being there to help you keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back. Ryan Baker, the guru Lee Cochran from This Week Sports, and our head coach Larry Wolf. It is the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, final scoreboard show of the year here in round three of the playoffs. Divisions 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing on Friday nights throughout the playoffs this year, and divisions 5, 6, and 7 playing on Saturdays this year. One of those games tomorrow is a big one in Division 7, Region 27, as Newark Catholic will take on East Knox tomorrow in a trip for the regional finals. Newark Catholic head coach Ryan Aiello joins us now on the AM 820 scoreboard show. And coach, your team coming off just an impressive win last week, 42-7 over Caldwell. A big game from your running back Mason Hackett last week. Talk a little bit about your team, just how well they played in the playoffs last week.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, very pleased with how we played last week. You know, I thought we had a really good balance, both in the running game and the passing game, which makes equally, both those sides of the ball more effective. And I thought our defense came out very good against a very physical running attack in Caldwell.
Well, Coach, looking a little bit at East Knox, their quarterback, Peyton Lester, threw for 395 and 5 touchdowns last week. You know, I guess we don't see a whole lot of quarterbacks like that. How do you prepare for that this week?
Yeah, he does a tremendous job. He really does. Watching him on film, you know. I think the biggest emphasis that we've had is, you know, I think number one, you know, we've got to find a way to get him off his launch pad. You know, how do we find a way to get him out of the pocket a little bit, trying to throw on the run, put him in some tough situations, force him to change up his reads. And then I think in the back end, you know, we've really got to do a good job of locking up receivers. You know, they got some very talented young men on the perimeter. And we've got to be aggressive playing the ball in the air. You know, it's one thing just to be on them, but, you know, we've got to be aggressive with that ball in the air and try to force some turnovers as well.
Well, you know, Coach Aiello, one of the secrets to that is you've got a junior running back, Mason Hackett. You've got a quarterback in Cole Canner, and you've got a running back that just came back in Kyle Langenbrunner. If you keep the football away from him, I don't know a whole lot about football, but I know he can't throw it if he doesn't have it. So I think we may be onto something
you're
here.
You're exactly right. Definitely keeping away from him definitely helps. There's no question. And I really think, you know, I tell you, talking to you guys early on in the year, you know, one of the big question marks for us was our offensive line. You know, and I really think our offensive line has done a tremendous job each and every week getting better and creating more continuity amongst themselves, you know, really helping out, you know, Mason, Cole, Kyle, you know, our guys on the perimeter there. So that is going to be a big component to our success.
Coach, with that offensive line, you just got a big part of your line back in your right tackle, Daniel Gray. Unfortunately, a terrible situation for him. His older brother passed away earlier in the year, and he had to step away for about a month from the football field. It just wasn't his time. He's back now. How has that helped anchor and settle your offensive line?
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you, that was a huge hit to just our Newark Catholic community. You know, the Gray family, they're just a tremendous group of people. You know, my first year, you know, Alex, Daniel's brother, was one of that first senior classes and just a tremendous young man. So that was heartbreaking for this community, but it showed a lot about our community as well. You know, how we rallied around one another. It was just tremendous to see the support that went out to that family. Couldn't have been more happy with, you know, our seniors, you know, this football team and their support towards their brother and, you know, really being patient with him and supporting him through a challenging, just life event, right? You know, life can be a big curveball here. You know, we learned that quickly as a football team, but very pleased with our kids, and to have him back has just been tremendous. You know, I think just to get him around that support system, and his brothers there, get him competing again. Great to have him back because he is a very talented young man.
Coach, we mentioned Mason Hackett a couple times. He's kind of taken over the role as the main running back for you this year. Kyle Langenbrunner, a kid that's played since he was a freshman, missed some time earlier in the year, and Mason kind of took over, ends up getting 1,705 yards on the year for you, 23 touchdowns, and was first team all district last week, 197 yards and 4 touchdowns. Talk a little bit about Mason and his ascent this season.
He's an incredibly talented young man. Obviously, you don't put up those numbers not having a whole lot of talent. I'm quick, physical, aggressive. You know, what I love about the kid the most is just his competitiveness. The kid just wants to get better each and every day, each and every week. It's a lot of fun just to watch the kid go about practice, you know, and I think there's something to be said about that. You know, just kind of having a purpose for what he wants to get done each and every week. But again, a lot of his success is attributed to, you know, all the guys around him, you know, the other 10 guys doing their job, receivers blocking on the perimeter, you know, offensive line, as we talked about a little bit earlier, doing their jobs, quarterbacks carrying out fakes. So, you know, by committee, I think he's really put himself in a position to be successful.
Well, Coach, I know Coach Wolf let the spilled the beans on your game plan to keep the ball out of East Knox's hands. But what do you look at as the key to winning tomorrow's game?
Well, you know, it really is. You know, we've got to find a way to make sure we're keeping possessions. You know, as I mentioned earlier on in our conversation, we've got to make sure we find some balance. You know, East Knox does a tremendous job on the defensive side of the ball. I think giving you some different looks, bringing some different movements, doing some good stuff in the secondary as well. I mean, they're a very well-coached football team. So we've got to find a way to keep some balance. And as simple as it sounds, you know, we've got to find a way to limit the big play. You know, it's one thing that stood out to film on us, you know, just deep balls. You know, and I'll tell you, they find ways to get into a three-back set, you know, double tight and run the football as well. You know, so we've got to make sure that we're handling our business on the defensive end, but limiting big plays is going to be a key.
Well, you know, this time of the year, it comes down really to three things: turnovers, weather, and injuries. Well, you can't control a couple of those things, but you can't control the turnovers. So if you just keep your possessions and you don't turn the ball over, you're going to, you know, you got two good football teams. This is not a secret. These are two good football teams. Whoever makes the most mistakes is probably not going to win this game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, and it's we can control that. You know, through our fundamentals, our techniques. You know, I tell you one thing that I've really stressed, and our coaching staff is really stressed with our football team right now. It's just one play at a time. You know, let's not look at the whole game as a whole. You know, there's just too much that can happen. You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, you get into tough competitive games, you know, it's going to be about 5 to 7 plays that really determine the outcome of a game. You know, those are going to go for you or against you, but that's going to be a part of those fundamentals and techniques and having the right mindset. So we've got to make sure that we're very poised going in tomorrow and just take it, as I mentioned, one play at a time.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the great season you guys have had so far. Good luck tomorrow as you continue that search for your second straight regional title.
Yeah, guys, thanks again. Appreciate you having me. All year here means a lot.
He's the head coach of Newark Catholic, Ryan Aiello. The Green Wave look to improve to 12-1 tomorrow when they take on East Knox. And that's a Green Wave team. I'll tell you what, in Division 7, I think it's Marion Local, and I think it's Newark Catholic right now.
That's the way it looks, because Newark Catholic plays the same schedule they do every year, which is, you know,
brutal.
Brutal. And they don't play division. Most time they don't play Division 7 foes until they get into playoffs, so they're ready to go.
Well, and listen, let's not take anything away from East Knox. They have been a perennial powerhouse up there for 20 years. I mean, they've been a solid football team. They've had some good deep runs in the playoffs, but it seems like they always cross paths with Newark Catholic somewhere in the regionals, and that usually ends their season. And these are two good football teams, and they're going to have a chance. If Newark Catholic doesn't turn the ball over, I see them winning this game, not easily, but handily. You know, not easily, because this East Knox team is a good football team.
They have three common opponents. As a coach, do you take anything away from that?
Sure. First of all, I want to know how you stop those common opponents. What did we think we could do? What do we see you do? Because that kind of gives me an idea of how you're thinking. And then I'm thinking, well, how would you stop me? You know, we self-scout. I did that self-scouting all the time. This is before computers. You know, this is back before they had all this stuff. You know, we were doing it with 3x5 cards and, you know, putting
people
them on a desk and people.
People at games. Scouts at games.
A lot of sweat equity. And, you know, you just try to figure out, how are they going to try and stop us? How are we going to try and stop them? Who was successful in doing it? Can we replicate that? If we can't, is it in anything that we do? And you try to look at that. How did they block a front? How did they do those different things? So all that goes into it. But it still comes down to Jimmy's and Joe's making plays.
Newark Catholic's only loss all year was to Heath. Of course, they're in the same league. Heath, their season has come to an end tonight. They lose to Bloom Carroll 35-6 this evening. Bloom Carroll 13-0. They are moving on. Next week, they will play St. Clairsville. St. Clairsville shuts out Meadowbrook tonight 35-0. So 1-2 in Division 4, Region 15 next week. Bloom Carroll gave up their first touchdown tonight in 4 games in mop-up time late in this one. In the last 5 games, Bloom Carroll has outscored their opponents 200-9.
I'd fire the defensive coordinator. gave up a touchdown.
Now,
right?
What do you think? If you're a starter on that defense,
yeah,
and the JV comes in tomorrow, you're like, hey, fellas.
You know, that's just one of those necessary evils. It's going to happen. Would you rather have your starters out there and get hurt? Heck no. We're going on to next week. Let's play.
Wow. I mean, 200-9. That's amazing.
Well, you know, we've talked to several coaches say, you know, that they want to be, you know, clicking on in all three phases
right
of the game at this point. Yeah, you know, we talked to Brent Johnson last week. He said, you know, he said the offense is really coming around. He said the defense was spot on. You know, I would say the same thing about Bloom Carroll at this point. You know, how do you keep that going?
Well, at this point, it builds on itself.
Yeah.
These guys go, we're not giving up. We're not even going to give up a first down. We're not, you know what I mean? They start setting ridiculous goals because they might attain them, and then that's when it gets fun.
With all that being said, I'm pretty sure next week St. Clairsville is probably by far their toughest test.
Absolutely.
Of the season.
And when your own standard is your best opponent, you know, the standard you set is your best opponent, you're a pretty good football team.
Yep. Should be a fun one next week there as Bloom Carroll takes on St. Clairsville. Another big one tomorrow night is in Division 6, Region 23. It's down in Chillicothe. That is West Jeff taking on Fairland. Fairland, the 2 seed. West Jefferson is the 3 seed. And the Rough Riders head coach, Sean Bisher, kind enough to join us now on the AM 820 scoreboard show. Coach, I've been lucky enough to be at your last 2 games in this playoff run, and the difference in your team last week and their dominating performance over Northmore to the previous week when, again, you won big over Lucasville Valley was staggering. You guys were firing on all cylinders last Saturday night. Was last week the best game you've played all year?
Well, I believe it was. I mean, we played in all three phases, played well. So this is the time of year where you're hoping to play your best football. We've been fortunate over the years to have some playoff success. So we feel we have a blueprint on how to go about it, and our kids buy into it. And we're just hoping we continue to get better each week and play well again tomorrow night.
Well, Coach, you know, you close the regular season with the loss to Mechanicsburg. Yeah, you know, how do you get them refocused? Is it just the veterans on the team? You just go get past it. It's playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, we are senior laden. I mean, that's a big game out here. I mean, for both schools. I mean, we both have been very fortunate in our league to have some success, and also, you know, both schools have had some playoff success. So that's a big game. So, you know, to lose that game at the end of the year is obviously, you know, a tough loss for us, but also, it gets you to the point where you're playing a high-level opponent right before you start. So there's some good and bad with that, I guess. But, you know, we've seen what it looks like to play an opponent that's a quality playoff team in Mechanicsburg. And I think that's only now kind of set the tone for what it's going to look like for us so far during this run. And I think playing teams like that late gets us prepared for what we're going to see tomorrow night.
Well, Sean, you know, your son Tyler has been the quarterback now for 4 years, and he is proof positive that he breaks one of the cardinal rules of Coach Wolf, which was you can't overcome genetics. He has obviously done that because he's had a great 4 years. So I'm going to give him all the props. I had the pleasure of meeting that young man a few years ago when I came out to West Jefferson to talk at one of your classes, and he is a quality young man, so I'm going to give his mother a lot of props.
Yeah, she's a good woman. She's raised 2 good boys, despite the dad.
And a good husband. She's raised one of those two.
Hey, Coach, speaking of Tyler, since Coach Wolf brought him up, last week he passes the 10,000-yard mark for his career throwing the football. An amazing stat. He's the 7th in the state of Ohio to do that. You guys, that was on the first drive of the second half. You took him out after that, and you shared a brief moment with him on the sideline there. Just how special of a moment was that for you and Tyler?
Well, it was. I mean, we worked hard. And I probably went too far the other way, to be honest with you, of not being dad when I'm involved in the football program with him. And I've had to learn to balance that throughout the course of his career. And, you know, he's handled it very well. I mean, there's a lot of pressure with being the quarterback, you know, at West Jeff. And there's a lot of pressure of being the coach's son. You know, unfortunately for him, maybe he had to do both. But, you know, that was a moment, you know, to build him, for him to be able to do that at home. And then we took him out. You know, that was a moment I'll you know, proudly admit that I was, you know, I was dad for a second, and, you know, we got to share that, and that was special. And, you know, the fact that we're able to do that with, you know, my wife in the stands and my other son, Austin, who's an eighth grader, being the ball boy, and we're all being able to share that together is special for our family.
Well, Coach, a little bit about tomorrow night's game. What can you tell us about Fairland? I mean, their only loss this year was an overtime to Ironton. What can you tell us about them?
Well, they're a complete football team. You know, as you guys know, you get to this point of the year, you got 16 teams left in each division. You know, all the teams are good, and they're very solid in all three phases. They have tremendous athletes. They have a running back that I would consider extremely special. Runs hard, great speed. They have a sophomore quarterback that's done a good job of getting better throughout the course of the year and balancing them out. They have a deep receiving core. Defensively, they have great athletes on the back end. So they're everything that you would think that a great playoff team would be. And, you know, and they top all that off of being great in the special teams area. So this is a great challenge for us. Our kids are excited. I mean, that's one thing that I take a lot of pride in, of being part of this great program with all these great players that have been here before us and the great coaches. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in being in games like this and trying to play at a high level and the way we prepare. And our kids are excited for this challenge.
Well, Coach, you know, it's that time of the year where there are no pretenders anymore. Everybody's capable of winning the whole doggone thing. And what is the one thing that you have to do tomorrow night? If forget all the coach speak now. You have to do one thing, and if you do that, you think you have a chance to win this game. What is the one thing you have to do?
Well, I think we've got to be consistent, Coach. We have to be consistent in all three phases. You know, that's a rabbit hole to go down, but If we can do what we're supposed to do for four quarters and make sure we take care of the football and do all those little things and you run the football defensively, I think we'll be in great shape. But you know the big thing that I talk about this time of the year that I think resonates true is, you know, physicality this time of the year really matters. And you know, we have to be physical at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. And you know, in all the years that I've been doing this now, I don't think I'm an old man, but I'm definitely getting older. You know, there's a lot of young guys involved in this game now. But it's just the one thing I think's always resonated when you get to, you know, this level, when you get to the Final Four, is, you know, physicality wins out. And so you got to be able to be physical at the point of attack. And hopefully we've created an environment, a culture here where we can do that.
Well, coaching will do like dog years. It's 1 year counts for seven. So you get old quick in this business.
Yeah, you told me that a long time ago, Larry. I'm starting to really buy in. Now I'm kind of giving that advice to other guys.
Yeah, no kidding. Now you know you're old.
Wow. Yeah, somebody giving Larry's advice to other people.
That's really scary. And he's successful. Think about that.
Yeah, Coach Wolf had a great career. He's a great coach.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us tonight on the Scoreboard Show. I'm excited to be there again tomorrow to see you guys. Good luck tomorrow when you take on Fairland.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for all you do for high school sports.
He's the head coach of West Jefferson, Sean Bisher, his team with a huge matchup tomorrow with Fairland.
Okay, the two coaches we talked to, Coach Aiello and Coach Buechler, you know, they both have veteran teams who are used to being on this stage. And, I mean, it's a silly question to say how important is that. But you look at a team like Upper Arlington. They've not been on this stage in quite some time. Big Walnut's not been on this stage in quite some time. New Albany's not been on that stage. That's got to have you feeling just, that's one less thing to worry about if you've got a veteran team that you're not worrying about the stage.
Well, the stage on Saturday night in this case was set on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. It's how do you practice? How do you prepare for that? And you know, the game takes care of itself. They'll all be excited and all that good stuff. But it's how you prepare for that game. And when you have a veteran team, they know how to get ready to play that game. That's probably more important than the actual game itself, because if you don't practice well Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can forget Saturday night. It's
well, we talked to Coach Sherrod about that, too.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that they're playing 14, 15 games every year.
Yep. You got to learn how to practice to get in this position.
You heard Coach Bisher say there at the end, defense, all the guys running to the football, playing physical. I can guarantee you from watching them the last 2 weeks, you will see that. When you watch them play, if you're watching the game, you will see at least 9 yellow helmets in the picture at the end of the play every time on defense.
People don't understand what being physical means. It has nothing to do with hitting hard. Everybody hits hard. It's finishing the block. It's driving the guy the extra 2 or 3 yards. It's taking the ball carrier to the ground. It's, you know what I mean, getting 7 and 8 hats on the ball. A solo tackle doesn't wear anybody out. You get 2 or 3 guys stripping at the ball, pulling at the arms, you know, beating on people. That's physicality, and that will wear you out.
Well, that's one thing that I've noticed more and more at all levels is how guys are going in when they make the tackle, punching the ball. And I've even heard of coaches putting on boxing gloves now to punch at the ball when guys are going through drills. I mean, that's just instinctive anymore to punch at the ball.
Normally, it keeps us from punching ourselves out, but because that can happen, too.
Sounds like a Tom Izzo basketball practice, what you're describing there. Hey, guys, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take a timeout. But when we come back, we'll preview another matchup tomorrow in Division 5. It's the head coach of Harvest Prep, Milan Smith, coming up next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444-ROOF.
It's easy to lose focus in our busy world. Oakland Nursery encourages you to put the important things in life at the center of your life. When you look at your daily schedule, ask yourself if things like prayer, family, and friends are a priority. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Why can't I follow my own conscience? You can, if it's properly formed. If you were trying to win a top-secret cross-country road race with a prize of over $100 million, you'd want to make sure that your GPS was right. Getting to heaven is actually even more important. That's why you need to make sure that your moral GPS, your conscience, is pointing you in the right direction. How do we make sure that our consciences are formed in truth and not in personal biases or societal error? After all, when John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln, his conscience told him he was liberating his country from a tyrant. The answer is actually pretty simple. Listen to the Catholic Church. After all, Christ founded it to get us to heaven. So the Church got her teachings from God himself, has never changed them, and has spent 2,000 years explaining and clarifying them for us. How long have you been working on yours? For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
Welcome back to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof. Last scoreboard show of the season, but we've still got over an hour of good content and scores coming your way. Guys, don't forget, AM820Scoreboard.com if you miss any of the scores, or if you want to keep track on the games tomorrow or throughout the rest of the playoffs, AM820Scoreboard.com, Facebook and Twitter at AM820Scoreboard. And then also ThisWeekSports.com, that is the place to go right now for the recaps of the games tonight. They're being posted as well. And you guys, Lee, you've got coverage going through all the way up through the state finals.
All through the state finals, and yeah, we'll have our award-winning photographers there. We do photo galleries, which are so popular on our website. The photo galleries, you know, we get our web numbers every Monday, and I look at that, and I'm just, people love pictures. They love the stories, but boy, they sure love the pictures. Well, sure. And we got a great staff doing it.
Well, you got good photographers, and the pictures, you know, worth 1,000 words. You know what I mean?
And more importantly, we're going to be doing our predictions all the way through the state championships as well, too.
Yeah, you're hanging on there near the top. I tell you, you led for 1 week. You got a taste.
Well, I've gotten in the lead two times this year, and both times I went 9-6 afterwards, so I guess I'm not a front runner. I come from behind.
There you go. Well, hey, all I know is you look on there and you see who's dead last, and that's...
Yeah, but you've been making some headway here, Reese. You've been doing better recently.
Listen, I'd rather be secretariat. Let me lead from the front. Let's go.
We'll get Larry on this next year.
You came out of the gate slow this year, real slow.
Oh, I came out limping. I came out limping hard.
Rough three-day practices.
Yes.
So don't forget that. This is our last show, but you can still keep up with everything. AM820scoreboard.com and thisweeksports.com as well, too. Real quick, finals of the regions involving area teams tonight. Marysville's moving on. They beat Toledo-Whitmer in Region 2, 49-14. Upper Arlington gets a 41-10 win in Region 3 over New Albany. They'll play Pickerington Central next week, 27-7. They beat Pickerington North tonight. In Division 2, Region 7, Big Walnut season ends with a record of 12-1. They get shut out tonight by Massillon Washington, 38-0. In Division 3, Region 11, Granville with a stand late. They hold London on fourth down. They hang on to win 15-14. Congratulations to the Blue Aces. London season ends with a record of 10-3. Next week, Granville, they will take on Western Brown, who beats Jackson tonight. This one sounded like a fun one, 35-28. And, Larry, we talked about Western Brown a couple weeks ago. Their quarterback, Drew Novak, can throw the football.
Throw for 8 billion yards. I mean, it's unbelievable. I saw them play DeSales a couple – I think it was DeSales or Hartley.
I think they played Hartley a few years ago, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What an aerial show.
So that will be a big one next week for the Region 11 championship. And then Division 4, Region 15, Bloom – Carroll, they're 13-0. They knock off Heath tonight, 35-6. We knew a Bulldog would win in that one tonight. It is Bloom Carroll that does so. Next week, they'll take on St. Clairsville, who beats Meadowbrook tonight, 35-0. Again, Divisions 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing on Friday nights this year in the playoffs. 5, 6, and 7 play on Saturday nights. One of those games is a big rematch in Division 5, Region 19, as Harvest Prep takes on Columbus Academy. Harvest Prep head coach Milan Smith joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, last week I was keeping track of games on Saturday night, and I saw that the Warriors were trailing at halftime last week, and I was like, this can't be right. This has got to be a typo. But you guys come out firing, and in the second half you get the 21-10 win over Amanda Clear Creek. What worked for you guys last week in the second half, Coach?
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I just think in the second half, we just came out and played Warrior-style football. We run a unique offense and a unique defense, so a lot of teams come with what we see on the field on Friday or Saturday night is a little different than what we see on film. But our guys and our coaches are resilient. They do a good job of making the adjustments on the fly, and they did a good job last week, and we came out in the second half, and we played Warrior brand of football.
Well, Coach, you've got a Columbus Academy. We talk about a lot of these teams that are facing unfamiliar opponents, and you're facing a very familiar opponent. You played twice last year. You're going to play twice this year. You beat them in the regular season, but they've won 7 of 8 since. How do you convince your players that this isn't the same Academy team that you saw in Week 4?
Well, I think we do just the opposite of that. We convince them that they are the same team. They've made adjustments. They've become a better football team since then. We've made adjustments. We've become a better football team since then. And at this point in time, there are no bad teams left in the playoffs. So you got a couple of good teams. You know, we won the first round, and it's round two.
Well, Coach, we've been privy to watching your team for the last few years, and you play a physical style of defense. You're an up-tempo type offense. When you get some giddy up on the outside, you got some fellas that can take it to the house. What is the one thing you have to do tomorrow night if you're going to beat Academy? And I know on paper, according to your first game, you're supposed to be better than they are, but what do you have to do to make sure that you come out a winner tomorrow night?
I think if you ask me, it would probably be the same question that your Coach Miller would say. We just got to play our brand of football. We feel like we have, like you said, we're very tenacious on defense. We're very, very physical. And we want to play that brand of physical football early and often. And on offense, we want to stay at our tempo. We want to stay at our pace, and we just want to be Warriors. And I'm sure Coach over there is probably saying the same thing as guys. If they play their brand of football, they have a good chance of winning. And we feel very comfortable with what we put in. We feel very comfortable with the style of football that we play. It works well in November. It works well in December. And we want to just continue to do what we've been doing. And then, you know, of course, let the chips fall where they may.
Well, Coach, Jalen Jennings, your standout running back, missed four games during the regular season. But last week he goes for 192 and two touchdowns on 21 carries against Amanda Clear Creek. I mean, obviously that's key to having him back. But, I mean, you know, beyond that, what did it do to the team just to have him back on the field?
Well, we played a number of our games, and you guys know this better than I do. Football is a battle of attrition. We played a number of our games during that stretch. We went on a six-game stretch where we were playing with several key backups in a number of key positions, and not limited to just the running back position. But at our wide receiver, we were down to our fourth and fifth team receivers, and our tailback was down to our third tailback. And again, those guys, Division Five, where a lot of those guys are two-way starters and our special teams guys. So, you know, when you miss one position on offense, that's probably a key position on defense as well. So we were really thin on the roster, but, you know, credit to our young guys. Really, we had that next guy up mentality, and our young guys stepped up, and they played, again, that warrior brand of football, came in with a mindset that, you know, they want to, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that they've been given. And I think, you know, what does Jalen Jennings do coming back to a program? Well, you know, there's a reason why the kid was offered by 20 different Division I schools for a reason. He's a tough football player. He's been in our program for years. He's a program guy. He understands what it takes and what it means to be a warrior running back. And when our guys get that shot in the arm back, it kind of reminds them that not only are we effective at that position, but we also have that leadership role there. So he kind of takes on that leadership mentality. So it does a number of things for us. But I'm gonna tell you, you know, we love Jalen and we love what Jalen brings to the table. But it was really a number of guys coming back that contributed and attributed to the Amanda Clear Creek winning, including Artrell Saunders and Chris Brown and a number of key guys that came back that were really, really, you know, that were really essential in their role for the win against Amanda.
Coach, it seems like we always want to talk about offense, but your defense has actually been pretty good all year, especially the past 2 weeks in the playoffs, giving up just 7 and 10 points. What do you like on the defensive side of the ball right now with your team?
Well, we've been known, you know, when we had, from even you guys remember when Banguero was there, you know, nation's leading rushing. We've been tops in the state the 8 years I've been at Harvest Prep. And, you know, everybody talks about Harvest Prep. It's usually on the offensive side of the football. But where we hang our work hat at is on the defensive side of the football. Our guys are, you know, again, going back to that physical brand of football. We want to get real nasty in the trenches. We want to play it clean, but we want to be real physical. And we want to challenge every play. We want to give you multiple looks, and we really want to do it from a perspective that we take an offensive mindset from a defense perspective. We want the ball back in our hands, and we want to minimize your opportunities on your offense. And it starts with my defensive coordinator, Aaron Tiller, and my defense back coach, Coach Anu. Those guys just do a good job of making sure that we're well prepared during the week. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about it earlier. You win the games on Saturday, starting on Monday, and, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we had excellent practice days this week. So, you know, we start our practices off with defensive reps. You know, we start our practices off with defensive walkthroughs. And that's how we start most of our practices. So because we want our kids to understand that we put a huge emphasis on defense, and it seems to be working out for us well.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the great season so far. Good luck tomorrow night as you guys look to punch that ticket to the regional final taking on Columbus Academy.
Well, I appreciate that. Real quick, you guys got your prediction ready for this game?
Go ahead, Ryan. You're one leading the panel.
Well, I know my prediction was Harvest Prep in the panel, so I think it's the Warriors.
That was mine, too.
And they're smart enough not to ask me, so that's okay. Because we coaches don't know very much. You know we don't know very much, Milan.
He's the head coach of Harvest Prep, Milan Smith. His team with a big rematch tomorrow in Division 5 over Columbus Academy. I don't know if it'll be 49-14, but I still think they get the win tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too. But I would agree. Boy, it's just tough to agree with you. But, yeah, I don't see it being a 35-point game. I don't see that happening.
No, it's going to be tough to do that again. But you know what? If you're in the academy locker room, you're saying, what do we have to do to win this game? We have to play clean, and we've got to create some turnovers. We've got to shorten the field. We've got to get the ball out of their hands. We've got to take the ball in when we get those chances. And, if Harvest Prep doesn't turn the ball over, they play a clean game, they're probably the better team.
Yeah,
probably a better team.
A couple years ago, Harvest Prep was a Division VII school. They were bumped up to Division V. Their two losses this year to Division II Licking Heights and to Division III Hartley.
Mm-hmm. Played Hartley tough.
They played Hartley tough. Well, they lost to Hartley 21-14. They lost to Licking Heights 13-8.
You know, the Warriors will be ready. They're not afraid to play anyone at any time, for sure. Division 1, Region 2, we mentioned Marysville. They improve to 12-0. They will take on Springfield next week in the regional final. They beat Toledo-Whitmer 49-14, did the Monarchs. Their head coach, Brent Johnson, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, just another impressive performance from your team all the way around. In the last 4 weeks or 3 weeks here, 49, 42, and 49 points for your team in the playoffs. You guys seem to be hitting your stride. Are you guys playing your best football right now?
We are. We talked to our kids a lot about that. And I feel like last week we came out against Perrysburg, and I felt like that was our cleanest game in all three phases. And tonight, you know, our kids ceased to amaze me, man. They showed up again, and they were dialed in, and I had played a really good football game in all three phases and handled some adversity early. Didn't let it affect them and stayed dialed into what we wanted to do, and it ended up really well for us.
Well, Coach, I got a text from Frank Duran out there. It said that was the first points you guys have allowed in the first half all season.
That is correct.
That is correct. One of the most mind-numbing stats I've heard. So I guess you got something to work on. You gave up first half points.
Yeah, we'll talk to the defensive coordinators and try to get that buttoned up. But you know, again, you know, Toledo Whitmer was a They had good athletes. They're well coached. They were averaging 38 points coming into that game, and we knew they wanted to run the ball, but they had the ability to sling it around as well. And came out, got an onside kick early, and our defense didn't break water and got the turnover on downs, and we answered with the score. And I felt at that time, just the momentum and everything switched. And then, you know, we really did a good job with field position the remainder of the half, and it kind of snowballed for us. And I just thought that was a real critical time in the game because, again, like last week, we really wanted to jump and get a lead because we have confidence in our defense, and I know we can possess the ball. So if they've got to play from behind, maybe we get them to do stuff they don't want to do, and I think that was the case tonight.
Well, Brent, one of the things that I think baffles people is how practices change this time of the year, and not necessarily in the mental intensity, but in the physical intensity. How have your practice? Because I know you guys have been doing this all year long. You've just been putting up big points on offense and shutting teams down on defense. But how do you maintain that, knowing that it isn't like you're coming out of two-a-day football practice where you're still banging around and hitting each other trying to figure out who can do what? You pretty much know what everybody can do now. How do you stay sharp in your practices now so that you can replicate the speed of a game without banging each other up?
Well, you know, 3 weeks ago we had that conversation as a staff. What's this got to look like? And learn as a staff what that's got to look like. But we said, well, we're going to lighten up. And I didn't like our practices. So the last 2 weeks, we've practiced the same way as we have practiced game one, but just shorter. And we're rotating in our first and second teams, so we're kind of saving bodies by the amount of reps, but our focus is on quality reps, and we want them to game speed as much as possible in practice, and that's truly how we practice. I think in our program, our kids believe we practice hard, and we do, and they have the right to believe that. I think that builds some confidence going into games. Where, you know, as you guys know, we hang our hat on trying to be the most physical team, and our kids buy into that, and they were very physical again tonight. So I don't know if I answered your question, but we practice, we just shorten things up. But the way we practice, we believe we've got to practice the same way.
Well, that's why I asked the question, because you tried it another way, and it's amazing. You have to be who you are, and some people can do it, and some people can't. Some kids can do it, and some teams just don't have that ability to change what they do. And that's why I asked the question, because I know you guys, you have hung your hat on your defense being physical and your offense just being relentless. I mean, those guys are they're crazy. You're scoring like 50 points a game. This is nuts. You're playing great football teams.
Yeah, we didn't expect that going in. We were expecting we've got to play 48 minutes, and we've done that all year. And, you know, we've got a backfield that is very balanced right now. And, you know, as a wing tee, that's really critical. And you could tell they tried to take away Griffin tonight early. And Gabe and Colton Powers kind of got in a rhythm. And then they kind of made some adjustments and was really sitting on Gabe, and Colton just ate him up at our fullback position, and our up front is really growing up and hitting their stride right now, I feel like, and their courses and their hand placement and their footwork, and it's just, you know, we start every Monday on trash, and we go through every single one of our base schemes to their top two fronts, and we just go at it that way, and we're hammering those details, so. Kids are taking coaching, and then defensively, you know, we really work individually, but when we get to team, it's about running to the football and that effort to the ball. And I thought our kids flew around tonight.
Well, Coach, next week you've got Springfield in the regional final. The only thing I know about Springfield is they beat Dublin-Jerome 34-0. You guys beat Dublin-Jerome 34-0. I suppose you've got to know a little bit more about them. What do you know?
Well, we played them 2 years ago, 2 years ago in the first round of the playoffs. That was our first year playing in the playoffs. We had to go down to Springfield to play them, and they had a sophomore quarterback that was really good, and he's still their quarterback. I know they've got some really good receivers, some big receivers, and I know their defense flies to the football. So we're going to have to be really, really good in what we do. We're going to have to probably get off the field when we can get off the field. We're going to have to stay in front of the sticks. We've got to possess the ball, and we get down in the red zone. And 2 years ago, we were unable to do this. When we get in the red zone, we've got to finish drives. And you know, our kids are excited about this opportunity. You can see it in their eyes after the game, and I'm confident they'll go to work and try to figure this out. But they are a good football team. They've got a lot coming back. They're well coached. And I think at this time of the year, any team you play is going to be well coached. Any team you play is going to have good athletes, you know. And I know coaching's important, but this is the time of year where players play and execute. And I think that's the key here, is our kids taking over these games and doing what they do best and letting them play, and not worry about making mistakes and that kind of thing.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the huge win tonight, 49-14. You guys beat Toledo Whitmer. Good luck next week against Springfield and moving on throughout the playoffs. Hopefully, at least three more games, Coach.
Yep, that's the goal here, and we'll take them one game at a time, and I appreciate you guys having me on again.
He's the head coach of Marysville. Brent Johnson, his team with a huge 49-14 win tonight over Toledo Whitmer.
I had to ask him about that. That is an amazing stat. Tonight was the first time they'd allowed on a first half point. Good grief.
That's why I said get the resume ready, defensive coordinator. You're out. You're out. That's it. We got to throw zeros.
But it just shows you, it shows you how teams feel about
Marysville.
That's why I asked. When you have Whitmer opening the game with an onside kick, you know, I mean, now I know we talked to Coach Heller. She said, you know, when you get going, you open the bag up a little bit more. But, you know, especially that's a little bit different, I think, you know, because they're playing teams that they'd seen before. You know, these two teams haven't played. And to open up, you know, it's a good call. They got it. But they didn't score then.
You know, if you play Marysville, you've got to change up. You got to steal possessions from them. And they're not going to turn the ball over very often. So when you get a chance and you score, it might be time for an onside kick. Maybe you can get a 2-for-1.
You talked about Colton Powers. He had a 94-yard touchdown run tonight for Marysville in that one. And that quarterback for Springfield, Tayshawn Smoot, he's dangerous with his arm and his wheels as well. 1 hour in the books. We've got one more to go for the season. We'll go through all the scores and talk to some more of the winning coaches tonight. Coming up in hour number two of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
WVSG, Columbus, Ohio. Statewide, this is the home for listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list as a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries. Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444.
There are many ways to say I love you. One way you can do this is to put I love you in as many places in your spouse's way as possible. Maybe it's a note in a purse, on a bathroom mirror, on a napkin, or in a book or a magazine. This works especially well if your spouse's love language is receiving words or gifts. How does your spouse need to hear I love you? This daily marriage tip is brought to you by the Marriage and Family Life Office of the Columbus Diocese.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof. I am Ryan Baker. The guy across from me, that is the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports. And the guy to my right, that's my head coach, Larry Wolf. We are glad to have you along for our final show of the season. Boys, just one more hour left. Kind of hard to believe that we're already here. I'm excited for this last hour, though.
Yeah, but we began the season wearing shorts, and we're ending it wearing shorts.
That's right.
So there we go.
Well, Wolfie is.
Only you guys.
Wolfie was outside playing golf today. It's a little cold. I don't know if I'd have wore shorts playing golf.
I'm more smarter than you guys.
That bar's not high.
No, it's a low bar.
That's that Worley education right there, right, Coach Wolf? Guys, we have got every score in the state, and we will give those to you coming up in just a minute. We've had a lot of rematches in the playoffs so far this year, and man, this one is as big as any whenever the two schools from Pickerington get together. And Pickerington Central gets the win this time. They lost in the regular season in overtime to Pick North. They avenge that tonight by beating the Panthers 27-7. Their head coach, Jay Sherritt, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, I got to imagine your players were pretty amped up for this one. How happy were they to be able to avenge the loss to the Panthers earlier in the season?
Well, the best thing is that we won the game in advance. That was the main thing on the mind. But then, you know, when you have the two teams playing from the same community, you wrap all that stuff around it, it even brings more energy to the game. But happy for our seniors. I mean, we're led by C.J. Doggett, Tyler Gillison, Kyle Lombodin, Reese Transport, and the rest of those guys. And, you know, it's just a testimonial of them that we get to play another week, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, Coach, you brought up Tyler. He had 60 yards rushing, a couple touchdowns, and then he also returned a fumble, 16 yards for a touchdown. You know, we've talked a lot about how your guys, you know, kind of, you know, you play into the playoffs so much that this is almost expected, even a performance like this from him.
But he's a total football player, special teams, offense, defense. He sticks the ball off the ground, advances that fumble, but then made a slide move and earlier in the game and ran in for a touchdown for us. But, you know, his older brother, Trent, played for us. He was a great central player. And Tyler wants to make sure he leaves his mark on our program. He surely has done that. And, you know, just leading that senior class and helping to win another game, that's what he's all about.
Well, Jay, we had a chance to watch that game. We were streaming it here in the studio, and it was 7-0 at halftime. And it's it's a typical Pick Central, Pick North game. And within a few minutes of the third quarter, that bubble burst, and it became 20-0. Big plays on both sides of the ball here. I mean, you guys offensively, defensively pick up a fumble. And then you gave up a big play late, and we were joking about, somebody's in trouble for that pass interception. But it's big plays got you guys out to 20-0 lead. Talk about those big plays.
Well, I think we went in at halftime, made a couple of adjustments. But, you know, in the first quarter, we had them buried down deep. We probably should have got a first touchdown sometime there in the first quarter. But, you know, they played stout defense and held us out. But I think our guys had a lot of momentum going into that second half. And they really wanted to advance. That was the main thing that we talked about at halftime. And Jeff Monaco, our defense coordinator, he and I have been together for a long time. And like you said, a lot of these guys are very playoff sound. And they know when we go into halftime, everybody's locked in. And we came out and did a few things. And like you said, creased a couple plays and got that 2-touchdown lead and went on to win the ball game.
Well, Coach, a little bit defensively, I got a text from Jared Aller, who's covering the game for us, about midway through the fourth quarter, and he said North had zero passing yards. How do you do that? Is that just bringing a lot of pressure, or is it dropping back, or a mixture of both?
Well, I think, like I said, Jeff Mons, our defense coordinator, he's probably the best in the business, bringing the pressure, the blitz games, making quarterbacks uncomfortable. And the kid threw a couple of nice balls, and if they did, our DBs broke on him. So, you know, you play team defense. You don't worry about who gets the sacks or who breaks up the passes, and that's kind of how he's got those guys playing and how they've played over the years. And this defense ranks right up to the top with the ones we've had, no doubt about that.
Coach, Pickerington Central, Pickerington North, out at White Field in Newark. Was that a little weird tonight, both schools traveling out there to play this one?
No, I mean, I love Whitefield. I like that old school feel, and they've done a tremendous job updating that stadium with the turf. And, you know, I mean, it was a first-class situation all the way, and I'd play there again in a heartbeat. I mean, that's a great place for high school football, and I'm glad we advanced.
Well, Jay, I know earlier in this year when you guys were beaten by Pickerington North, a lot of people forgot about Pickerington Central, thinking, well, this might be a down year for them. But the three of us in here said you guys were the best kept secret because nobody was talking about you. Well, now it looks like the three best teams from the OCC have survived. We've got Marysville, we've got Upper Arlington, and we've got Pickerington Central. And those probably this year were the three best teams. And now two of you are going to match up for the chance to win this regional, and that's going to be a great matchup. What do you know about Upper Arlington, and what do you have to do to win this game?
Well, Coach, thanks for letting me enjoy the win for 45 minutes.
I'm surprised it was for 45 minutes.
And all that kind of stuff. And Jeff and I, Monica, we were talking about it before we even walked off the game field today. And when you're in that playoff mindset, you're always looking for the next thing. But, you know, our coaching staff came together a number of weeks ago. We had some tough decisions, and those aren't fun meetings to have after you drop a ball game. And I think what you've seen is a good progression in our team and offense, defense, special teams, and we're going to need everything we have to play up Arlington tough next week.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the huge win tonight. I know those battles at Pickerington are always fun, even probably a little sweeter getting that win in the playoffs. Good luck next week when you guys take on the Golden Bears.
All right, guys. Thanks for the coverage. Take care.
He's the head coach of Pickerington Central, Jay Sherritt. His team improves to 12-1 on the year, 27-7. They beat Pick North, and Coach, you're right. It was like they were shot out of a cannon there in the second half.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people just know Jay Sherritt as the football coach at Pickerington Central, but I had the privilege of coaching him in college in baseball. Listen, this is one of the most competitive son of a guns in anywhere in the world. I mean, he'd fight you for a nickel. If you drop a nickel, you've got a fight on your hands. I'm telling you. And that just permeates this whole program. And it has for the last, I don't know, 10 years. They don't sit pat. They're always trying to get better. And everybody says that, but they actually have done it. And they've been a team that's gone out of their way to play the best teams from all over the country. They're not happy to just win the OCC. They want to play great football. And it's proved itself, you know, to be good.
And what he's done is had the kids buy into the program. He said it right there. The kids don't matter who get the, they don't care who gets the sacks. They don't care who gets the interceptions. They care about winning. And that's easy to say.
Yeah.
But that's not easy to pull off.
A lot of people say it.
You know, I mean, because I heard, you know, Tommy Lasorda say once, he spoke out at the Columbus Zoo. He said too many people worry about the name on the back of the jersey, not the front of the jersey.
That's right.
And I mean that's been 20 years ago, and that's stuck with me. And you know, I think they're at Pickerington Central, and there's other programs around
Absolutely.
Here too, of course. But a lot of them play for that name on the front. That's the primary name.
Well, listen, you better play hard if you're going to play for Jay Sherritt. You're not going to get to play if you don't play hard.
You can credit that to Coach Sherritt for sure. You talk about Larry all year. You've talked about having dudes. Tyler Gillison, C.J. Doggett, Sonny Styles, Isaiah Henderson.
They're
got
average.
Some dudes.
They're average. Yeah, they're average NFL players. They're pretty good.
Guys, let's go ahead real quick. We've got every score in the state. We ran through the ones of the local teams. Let's run through real fast the other regions in the state for you. Division 1, Region 1, Lakewood St. Ed, the one seed. They're moving on 42-0. They beat Canton McKinley tonight. They will play Medina next week, who's 13-0 after beating St. Ignatius 27-14 tonight. In Division 1, Region 4, Cincinnati Molars moving on. They beat Cincinnati Princeton 28-21. They will take on Lakota West, who knocked off the defending Division 1 state champs tonight, St. Xavier. What a weird score, Lee, 12-2.
Yeah, I don't think you run across that too many times.
Hey, listen, I was part of a 31-4 score. I don't want to hear about 12-2.
You know what, though? It could be 3-2. And you know Lakota West is happier than anything right now.
Absolutely. Division 2, Region 5, Walsh Jesuit. They knock off Cleveland Benedictine, the one seed tonight, 34-20. They'll play Akron Hoban next week, who beat Nordonia 35-7. In Division 2, Region 6, Toledo Central Catholic was trailing 17-6 at the half. They kick a 28-yard field goal as time expired and beat Highland 23-20. Next week, they'll take on Avon, who beat Olmsted Falls 49-21. Division 2, Region 8, Piqua, they're 12-0. The one seed moving on. They beat Edgewood 28-21. Next week, they take on Winton Woods, who knocked off Cincinnati LaSalle 42-25. Division 3, Region 9, the defending state champs, Chardon, they're 13-0 now. They knock off Canefield 27-14. They'll play Dover next week, who is 12-0. They beat Kinston tonight 24-7. Holy Name tonight, the 8th seed. Moving on, they beat Franciscan 28-21 in Division 3, Region 10. Next week, they'll take on West Holmes, who's 13-0 after a 51-28 win over Rocky River. Division III, Region 2, Hamilton-Baden continues to roll. 45-10, they beat St. Mary's Memorial tonight. Next week, they play Bellbrook, who knocked off Tippecanoe 38-7. In Division IV, Region 13, West Branch, the one seed, moving on. They beat our old buddy Bob Guestwich in Perry 26-19 tonight. Next week, they take on Youngstown Ursuline, who won a shootout tonight over Cleveland Glenville 42-38. Division IV, Region 14, Port Clinton is moving on. They beat Perkins 19-14. Next week, they will take on Van Wert, who hammered Clyde 48-14. And then in Division 4, Region 16, Clinton Massey, they knock off Cincinnati Wyoming, give them their first loss of the year, 42-14. Larry, when you play Clinton Massey, it's just a different animal.
You better have two mouthpieces and an extra chin strap, because I'm telling you what, they're going to knock your lips off.
So congratulations to Clinton Massey. Moving on, they will play Cincinnati McNicholas next week. They're 11-1 after beating Eaton 33-14. And of course, talking region or Division 4, Region 15, that's where the local teams are, and that is where Bloom Carroll resides, and they are moving on. They remain undefeated on the year, 13-0. They beat Heath tonight 35-6. Their head coach, Wade Bartholomew, joining us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach, I got to tell you, we're a little disappointed. You guys gave up your first touchdown in a month tonight. I don't know what we're going to do about this defense, Coach.
You are the coach.
You guys are like the fifth person that's texted me or sent that to me, so I don't know how to answer that. I guess I got to make my kids run a little bit on Monday. I don't know what to do.
Coach, hey, staying with that real quick, though. Your last five games, you have outscored your opponents 200-9. I don't know if I've ever heard a stat like that. That is so impressive, Coach.
Yeah, it all starts with our defense. So when we can get the ball back on three and outs or turnovers and give our offense a chance after chance, we have enough weapons both in the running game and the passing game that we eventually find a way to score. But I mean, we get so many possessions because our defense just sets the tone.
Well, Coach, yeah, you're talking about your defense, and what did you guys do to shut down the Heath quarterback, sophomore quarterback Braden Bales? You know, last week he threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and rushed for 80 yards. What did you do to shut him down?
We asked them not to play their best running back and their second best receiver. I think they got hurt or something, so that really helped, honestly, from the get-go. But really what we tried to do was make him stay in the pocket. He's really, really good off schedule, and his receivers do a great job of finding open windows when he's running around the backfield. So we just wanted to see a young sophomore in a big game. He would just sit in the pocket and make throws. And so we didn't really rush much. We kind of came off the ball slow and wanted to see if he would try to throw things on time. And I think it really kind of rattled him, just having to sit in there and try to make plays from the pocket.
Well, Coach, you know, we always give the credit to the defense because your defense has been so ridiculously good this year. But your offense has to finish those drives, too. And when you put points on the board and people know that you have a great defense, it really puts tremendous pressure on the other team's offense to try and match you, because they know that 14-0, that could be an insurmountable lead with your defense. So your offense has to finish. So it's kind of hand in glove. The defense gets the ball back, but the offense has to finish those drives.
Yeah, absolutely. And we worked all the last 3 weeks actually talking about how important it is once we get the ball, maybe like down in the red zone or whatever, trying to put points on the board, because how valuable points are to us because, like you said, our defense is so good. Plus, if you score, we got a decent kicker that can kick it down, and then somebody trying to go 75, 80 yards on our defense is just really, really tough. So just getting those points even then helps our defense out by making it a long field for teams that have to go all the way down. But yeah, our offense did a great job tonight, being once again very well balanced. But early on, we had to kind of go to our running game and kind of play a physical brand of football that we typically don't have to. But I was really proud of our kids for stepping up in that manner.
Was it kind of enjoyable then to, you know, play a little bit more of a physical style of offense than what you're accustomed to? You kind of sit there and smile a little bit when that's successful?
Yeah, absolutely. When you know you're in the regional semis and playoff football is all about ultimately finding a way to run the football at one point in time, and you get the chance to take your first three drives just down the field. Our third touchdown, we actually went 60 yards in a power I set, and we huddled. And I'll be honest with you guys, that's the first time we've ever huddled in my offense that I've ever called. So it was different. It was unique.
you know, it's kind of neat to see our kids really just grow in that moment and have some fun just kind of being a very physical team.
Coach, the last 2 years now, your team has gone 22 and won the past two seasons. And KJ Benedict has been the starter at quarterback for all of those games. This year, he's had a great year for you guys, completed 74% of his passes, thrown for over 1,900 yards, 25 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Obviously, Coach, it's a whole team game, but KJ's pretty special there under your center. What makes him so good for you and your team?
He's very, very cerebral, very smart. He runs a lot of different things offensively for us. We can go from being an RPO team to a power team, to an option team, to throw an empty team. Just his intelligence allows us to do so much stuff and getting people where he needs to be. And his second best quality is he is the most calm and cool and collected kid I've ever seen in my life. Like, he has a mistake, he comes to the sideline and, you know, just kind of looks like he's, you know, another day in the park, which you guys know is a demeanor for a quarterback in those big games when things like that happen. He never panics and he keeps everybody on the sidelines calm, including myself a lot of times.
And then, Coach, St. Clairsville won tonight 35-0, so that's the opponent next week. Probably as you go along in the playoffs, each week is your toughest game of the season. Do you know anything about St. Clairsville yet?
No, we've met again. We've actually played them the last 2-3 years in a row. So we're pretty familiar in the playoffs with them. Coach does a great job out there making big physical kids play big physical football. I love what he does with his programs. His kids are very respectful. Always a top-notch, program to play against. So we're excited to see him again. I've actually been able to come pretty good friends, pretty close with a guy like that. You know, you see him 3 years in a row in a tough game, and you just kind of respectfully, you know, you lose to a good program. You know, they beat us the first year. We beat them, you know, the second year, you know, that we played. So it's just kind of neat to be able to build a relationship with a guy who coaches 3 hours away, you know, just kind of through tough game. So me and Coach McLaren, you know, we talked quite a bit. I texted him the moment the game was over and kind of gave him a little bit of crap about at least this time he gets to come halfway, because last year we had to go all the way out there. I didn't think that was fair. So I thought maybe he would be willing to tell the OHSA that he could come all the way to Carroll, Ohio. But he didn't say he didn't really look forward to that. So.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the great win tonight. Thanks for taking some time and talking with us all year on the Scoreboard Show. Good luck next week against St. Clairsville, and let's shore up that defense a little bit, all right?
Yeah.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
He's the head coach of Bloom Carroll, Wade Bartholomew. The Bulldogs 13-0 after an impressive 35-6 win over Heath tonight.
I just want to know if they have to practice huddling up, because if they don't normally do it, do they know where to line up in a huddle? I mean, sometimes... Listen, my team's always huddled, and they couldn't get it right. I'm just maybe we shouldn't have huddled.
Well, you mentioned KJ Benedict. He's a district player of the year at quarterback, and he said they went power eye for a 60-yard drive. You know, I mean, you know, that's pretty impressive. And it also says something about what you're doing as a team when he said that we were the fifth people to mention that they've given up a touchdown. You know, you're not giving up many touchdowns if you're getting a lot of text about giving up a touchdown.
Well, and that's right. And he's done such a great job down there. We laugh about that. But listen, are you serious? 200-9?
It's amazing.
And by the way, they're playing the best football teams on their schedule right now, and they're beating them 200-9.
Yeah, because if you remember when this all started out, it was that big matchup with Taze Valley. We were like undefeated. And they beat them 49-0, and they have just been steamrolling since.
Well, they steamrolled before. True. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, but they
put
it in
the
new year.
That was the eye opener. Yeah. I'll give you that. That was the eye opener. You know, we've had a couple eye openers, you know, and you know, Upper Arlington's a huge eye opener to me.
Yeah. That game with Pick Central next week is going to be fun.
Dogs.
For
better
sure.
Have an extra chin strap and mouthpiece for that one.
Maybe we'll have to, since we don't have a show, maybe we'll have to go out to that one.
Yeah, that's going to be tempting.
There'll be some slobber knockers in that game.
Big game tonight in Division III Region 11. Granville hangs on. They improved to 12-0. They beat London tonight 15-14. Their head coach, Wes Schroeder, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. Coach, a last-minute stand by your defense, holding London on fourth down to preserve the win for you. What's going through your head there in those final minutes as they're going for it on fourth down?
Yeah, I might lose you here. We're just getting into Granville. We don't have a great reception. But
you know, we told the kids, we said if our defense versus their offense was 70 yards, I'll take our chances. We stepped up and we had to and made plays when we needed to. It was great to see. So I was very proud of our kids. They're just tough, gritty kids, and they just didn't want to lose.
Well, Coach, last 2 weeks, you know, I guess most of the season you had some pretty wide scores, but the last couple of weeks in the playoffs, you know, DeSales 19-12, and this one 15-14. What's that telling you about your team right now?
Yeah, like in the regular season, every game was decided by two possessions or more, so we were kind of concerned about that a little bit, and just talking about week we had to come. We knew we were going to have to trust our defense again last week, and then tonight we knew it was going to come down to a defensive stand at some point when we got that big play, and we went for two because we felt if we to win. But it just it goes back to our kids. It just they're competitors, and you know that's when you're playing football, you want a close knit group like we have that just want to compete, and that's what we have.
Well, Wes, we had a chance to watch that London team take on Bishop Hartley last week, and they were physical, and they're big, and they're strong.
Yeah.
And to hold them to 14 points, I mean, listen, your defense did a great job, but you started your starting quarterback came back tonight and then was injured and taken out of the game again. Obviously, we're hoping he's okay, but that's quite a two-week series here where you go without your – you know, the guy that's running the show for you for much of those games and to still pull out wins against great teams like DeSales and London. That's a pretty good deal there.
Yeah, for sure. We just have a great – Carson's a great player, but we have a lot. We felt we just had to change, you know, just change a little bit. And I think the thing that goes unnoticed is he's playing on a torn ACL. And that just goes back to the competitors and the grittiness of these kids. He was dead set on playing, and he did. And unfortunately, he got hit and took out of the game.
Coach, next week you guys take on Western Brown for the Region 11 championship. We know one thing: their quarterback Drew Novak likes to sling that ball around. Do you know much about him yet? And what are you guys going to have to do to get that regional championship next week?
Yeah, we know a little bit. We've been just watching, you know, we just looked at both the teams just in case, and we know that he's thrown for thousands and thousands of yards, and we got our work cut out. It's kind of going from somebody, you know, I think we had one pass completed on us tonight to next week where they're going to be throwing it all over the yard. So it's going to come down to the same stuff, though, getting off the field when we can, making plays when opportunities present itself, and taking care of the ball. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I mean, they're you know, it's a unique situation, and we're excited for the challenge.
Coach, I think Coach Wolf said the correct term for that is a bajillion yards.
Yeah,
so
bajillion,
if you want to steal that one.
Hey, Coach Wolf also said the best way to stop that is not let him have the ball. So you just keep the ball for a while, and next week you won't have to worry about him slinging it.
We'll try.
That's good coaching there. That's all I know.
Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. Thanks for joining us the last couple weeks on the Scoreboard Show, and good luck next week against Western Brown.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The head coach of Granville, Wes Schroeder. His team, 2 weeks in a row, gutty, hard-fought performances to get those wins in the playoffs.
Against tough, physical teams. You're talking about DeSales and London, and I'm telling you what, those teams are physical.
Well, let's be honest. For the most part, Granville had always been considered a finesse team.
Absolutely.
They've, in my book at least, have officially shed that. To win these last two games the way they did, I mean... You know, they are
find
smashing.
A way.
Yes.
Find a way. That's all they're doing right now is finding a way. And if they can patch it together with some baling wire and some twine and a few Band-Aids, good for them.
And that started with them a few years ago when Coach Buttermore came on out there.
Yep.
And then Coach Schroeder has just continued that since he became the head coach last season. Speaking of Coach Buttermore... Wow, what a performance tonight from the Upper Arlington Golden Bears. They hammer New Albany 41-10, giving the Eagles their only loss of the season, moving on for the Division III Region Championship next year. Coach Buttermore joins us on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, that's all I think I can say right now is, wow. Early in the game, your first drive, it stalled out. You had to punt. Then New Albany drove it down inside the 10-yard line. You guys held them to a field goal, and that seemed like a huge shift of momentum for you. It seemed to be huge for you, and you guys kind of took off and never looked back after that. Was that moment in the game as key as it looked watching it?
Well, I think it was a big stop. I mean, anytime you're playing a team that's explosive as they are and scores as many points as they are, if you can get a few stops in the red zone, whether that's a fourth down stop or forcing a field goal, you know, it feels like a victory sometimes, even if you hate giving up scores, but 3 points felt like a victory on that drive.
Well, Coach, offensively, Simon Monin was 10 for 15, 169 yards, 5 touchdowns. Was there something that you noticed? Were they keen on Carson, or is it, you know, just doing what you normally do?
You know, I mean, we always try to be balanced, but I think we knew we were going to have to lean on the passing game early to open up the run game. We knew they were going to try to take away Carson and send 6 or 7 at him all night, and we knew that they had shown a lot of cover zero. I mean, they were playing a lot of straight man, and they were going to try to take the ball out of Carson's hands. And, you know, we were able to take advantage of that. A couple, you know, obviously Simon played well. A couple of receivers made some really big plays, and we were able to really execute well in the passing game.
Well, Coach Buttermore, there's an old coaching adage that says the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half are the keys to the game. And tonight you got a late score in the first half and you got an early score in the second half, and it took a close game and blew it open. I mean, I'm not sure that the New Albany was going to beat you at that point, but that removed all doubt at that point. Take us through those last four and first 4 minutes.
Well, it was really big. We got they got the ball back. It was 21-10. We had just scored, but they had the ball to end the half, and they had deferred, so they were going to get the ball to start the second half. So it was crucial that we get a stop at least in one of those situations. And fortunately, before the half, there was only about 2.5 minutes left, but we got a big play on first down on defense to put them in long yardage. So I decided to spend a timeout, and you know, we were able to make two more plays and call timeouts and get the ball back after a punt return at about the 40-yard line, and scored on a screen play on the next play. So you know, that score was huge, and then we were able to get a stop to start the second half and turn around and score again. So there's no doubt about it. Those are crucial moments in the game and critical situations where you can either, you know, let somebody back in it or push the lead. And we were able to push the lead and really in a lot of ways end the game.
Well, Coach, you mentioned a couple defensive stops there, but I think that was throughout. I mean, this is a team, New Albany came in averaging 48 points a game, two guys over 1,000 yards rushing. Their quarterback was at close to 800 yards. What did you do defensively to do what no one else has done this year and stop that offense?
Well, I've been saying it all year. I mean, we don't. You know, we've tried to play great team defense. You know, I think especially a wing T team, if you try to focus on any one person, that offense is designed to spread the ball around and hurt you in different ways. So, you know, really the first couple drives, if I'm being quite honest, when we looked at the film on the sideline, we did not do a great job of reading our keys. We weren't trusting it. And I think I mentioned to you guys last week, that's a very difficult offense to prepare for. You really can't get the look and the speed and the deception of that offense from your scout team. As great as they do, it's tough to get that look. So I think part of it was just us getting back to trusting our reads. Once we got back to really trusting our reads and reading our keys, we fit pretty well all night and we're able to get stops.
Coach, field position was huge for you guys tonight too. You started a lot of drives in their territory, some bad punts, and you guys were able to take advantage of things like that. When you get that good field position, especially in the playoffs, how much more important is it to do what you guys did tonight and take advantage?
Well, it's huge. I mean, there's been, you know, I remember specifically last year, there were several games where we were stuck inside our own 10 starting drives all night, and it just makes it really difficult. High school teams and even college NFL teams, it's difficult to drive the ball 80 and 90 yards when you're playing good teams. You know, you might be able to do that against some lesser opponents sometimes during the year, but it's very difficult to do that consistently against good teams. So the fact that we got ourselves in good field position and gave ourselves a better chance to really just go for it. We were very aggressive with our play calling because we were in good situations.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a huge win tonight. It sets up a big one against Pickerington Central next week. Do you know much about the Tigers yet?
I really do. I mean, obviously, I know their tradition and the type of players that they have. They've got terrific talent everywhere, and it's been like that for a long time. And I know Coach Sherritt and his staff have done a great job for a long time. So, you know, we do not have any crossover films with them. We have one film, I guess, when they played Reynoldsburg. We got that when we played Reynoldsburg. But, you know, we know what we're up against, and, you know, we know it's a huge challenge. But, you know, our kids have been willing to accept that challenge all year.
Yeah, I'd say so for sure. I think they're ready for the challenge, too. Coach, congratulations again on the win tonight and the great season you guys have had so far. Unfortunately for us, this is our last show, but you've been here with for us, I think, 12 of the 13 weeks. So we thank you for that, Coach, and good luck moving forward here in the playoffs.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a fun offseason.
He's the head coach of Upper Arlington, Justin Buttermore, again. If anybody told you they saw Upper Arlington beating New Albany tonight 41-10, they're lying.
I'd ask for their DeLorean.
Yeah, no kidding.
And but you know, like I say, New Albany comes in averaging 50 points. But here's the thing I look at too. We were last week saying, hey, you know, a couple of these Division I games look amazing. Which one would we go to? Upper Arlington, New Albany, or the Battle of Pickerington? You know, this game next week is going to be lights out. This regional final, Upper Arlington and Pickerington Central, this thing ought to be amazing.
Well, this is how crazy the playoffs are. I mean, it's a 41-10, and it looks like a blowout. But if you go back to 21-10, and New Albany scores at the end of the half, it's now 21-17. Mm-hmm. They get the first drive of the second. They're now ahead 24-20. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how close these games are. And then all of a sudden, the dam bursts and goes the other way. I mean, 41-10, neither team is... Upper Arlington's not 31 points better than New Albany, and New Albany's not 31 points worse than Upper Arlington. But tonight they were. And, you know, you got to tip your hat to Upper Arlington and say, hey, listen, they did a great job against a great team. And you also have to tip your hat to Bubba and the boys out at New Albany. They had a great season, too.
I don't care what happens next week in the Upper Arlington-Pickerington Central game, and this is no disrespect at all, obviously, to Pickerington Central. I want to see Upper Arlington-Marysville. I want to see those two
teams. Well, you're
on
Jay Sherritt's Christmas card list now, I can tell you that.
I just think that game would be a dynamic game.
Well, just imagine if Pickerington Central now beats Upper Arlington, how dynamic that game's going to be. Because, I mean, if you think Upper Arlington Marysville will be good, imagine the team that beats Upper Arlington Marysville. I mean, those are going to be great games.
I just don't want to see it in the state semifinal. I really
agree.
At this point, I guess the way I look at it, it doesn't matter to me who wins, because I know whether it's Upper Arlington or Pickerington Central, they're going to represent Central Ohio, Central District very well. And I know there a few years ago when it was Pickerington Central and Olentangy Liberty, and we were sitting there thinking this could potentially be a state final, and it didn't pan out. I feel so strong that we could have an all Central Ohio state final. I really do.
We could have either, neither, or both. I mean, it's crazy because the teams that are left are so good across the state. They're so good. That's Ohio football. This is not Idaho. It's not Connecticut. This may be as good a state as there is in the Union for high school football. I know Texas. I know California. Well, come play the Buckeyes. Come on up here. Come on up here. Our kids can stand toe-to-toe with anybody.
I thought you were going to say South Dakota, because I lived there for 7 years, and I covered 7-man, 9-man, 11-man football.
There's only four schools up there that have football.
But I'll tell you what, one thing that they do, they play their state championships in a dome.
Yeah, there you go.
Guys, I'm glad we just talked about that, and I want to stay there. We got to take a break, though, but when we come back, I want to talk about that, though. What if we get in the state championship game two Central Ohio teams and what that would mean to Central Ohio football? We'll talk about that, and we'll run through all the scores as well coming up next. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
It's easy to lose focus in our busy world. Oakland Nursery encourages you to put the important things in life at the center of your life. When you look at your daily schedule, ask yourself if things like prayer, family, and friends are a priority. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
A lot of people presume that organized religion is somehow shallow. After all, organized religions try to define God, to put him in a box, so to speak. And wouldn't a supreme being be more vast and undefinable than that? So they end up being attracted to a spirituality that's more, well, vague. But if you think about it, Catholics claim that God is love. And if God is love, wouldn't he want to stoop down to our level so that we could know him? Wouldn't he make himself understandable and definable for our sakes? Wouldn't love choose to become as approachable as an infant or as plain as bread so that we could draw near to him, know him, and touch him? You see, we Catholics didn't put God in a box. God put himself there for our sakes, and love would do nothing less. And there's nothing more vast or more profound or more beautiful than that. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444.
In St. Catherine of Siena's writings, we are told that God distributes gifts and virtues to us in such a way that no one has all of them, because he wants us to share our gifts and depend on each other. Take time today to thank your spouse for the strengths that make up for your weaknesses and the gifts that complement yours. Celebrate these differences as God's gift. This daily marriage tip is brought to you by the Marriage and Family Life Office of the Columbus Diocese.
Welcome back, AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Ryan Baker here with you, along with the guru Lee Cochran from This Week Sports and our head coach Larry Wolf. Glad to have you along. Really all season, guys. It's been a fun 13 weeks here in 2021, and definitely glad to have you along for round one of the regional quarterfinals tonight. Divisions 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing around the state this evening. Divisions 5, 6, and 7 take to the field tomorrow. And Larry and Lee, we were just talking about in that last segment, Division 1. We've got Marysville sitting there in the Division 2. They look like the real deal. And we've got two teams, Upper Arlington in Region 3 taking on Pick Central. We know Upper Arlington looks like the real deal now, and we know Pick Central in their history. This is their sixth straight regional championship game next week. They've won the previous five, so we know they're the real deal. If it breaks down to where divisions or Regions 1 and 3 play, and a 2 and 4 play, or vice versa, 2 and 1 and 3 and 4. We've got a real possibility here of two Central Ohio teams playing for the state championship in Division One. Upper Arlington, Hilliard-Davidson twice, and Pick Central a couple times now, the only schools to win Division One state championships. How huge would that be for Central Ohio football?
Massive. And it only proves what we in Central Ohio have known for quite some time. And we've talked to these OCC coaches all year, and they've said the same thing. The level of football, the level of coaching, the level of programs have just exploded here in Central Ohio. In the last, I mean, I think you have to go all the way back to the Upper Arlington team that won the first one. But in the 18 to 20 years since, Central Ohio football takes a backseat to no one. Our teams are as good as anyone's. Now, you couldn't have said that 25 or 30 years ago, but now you can. And I'm telling you, it's huge to know that you could have two Central Ohio teams. And you know, if, depending on how it breaks up, you could have no Central Ohio teams. Well, guess what? There are going to be four great teams. Whoever they are, there are going to be four great teams in the state semifinals. So let's see what happens next week, and we'll see how the state matches them up.
Because it's going to be exciting.
Well, we know we're at least going to have one Central Ohio team in the state semifinal, Pickerington Central or Upper Arlington. I think the big thing that's happened with Central Ohio football since I've gotten here is more and more people are moving into Columbus.
Sure.
And so you when you have that, it's just natural that you're going to have more athletes. It's going to bring in coaches like Mark Norrie, Coach Solis.
Rob Page.
It brings in these coaches to Central Ohio as well. But, you know, that's it would still be so dramatic to have two Central Ohio teams, because that really can't happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, really elsewhere, you know, and I do like that. One thing I do like that in four of the five regions that play that we had local teams in that played tonight, the regional finals are number one versus number two.
Yep.
You know, the only
the
only one is Big Walnut in Division II, Region 7. You know, they were number one team. We got beat today. So, I mean, they can expand the playoffs as much as they want. But even with tonight's games, you know, going into regional finals, you have a 6 seed and an 8 seed throughout the state who won today. You know, I don't think that's overly unusual. But I think for the most part, the seeds have held.
Well, and Lee, I texted you earlier this week after last week's games were final. Only three teams in the whole state were playing this weekend that wouldn't have been in the playoffs previous years after expansion. That was Perkins, who was a 9 seed, mm-hmm. Worcester, who was a 14 in Region 7 that you talked mm-hmm. about, and Anna, who was an 11. And two of those were going to be guaranteed because Perkins played Edison, who was a 16 mm-hmm. seed, and Anna, an 11, was playing a 14 the week before. So you knew you were going to have two of those. And then, of course, Worcester with the great run through the two Central Ohio mm-hmm. teams, Berlin and Scioto.
Yeah, I mean, the seeds have held. It's not a surprise. Football is about dudes. You got to have dudes. And you knew going in which teams had the best dudes. And assuming that the coaches aren't going to muck it up, the dudes are going to win the day. And that's pretty much it's easier in football than it is, let's say, in baseball, because you can have one dude on the hill and he can have a great day. Or in basketball, a guy goes off for 45 points and you're going to lose a game, or you have a cold shooting night. But in football, the dudes usually win the day.
Yeah, your quarterback isn't going to make plays if the line isn't blocking. Correct. Or if his receivers aren't catching. Your running back's going to have nowhere to go if it's not for your line.
Well, that's what we talked to Coach Page at Big Walnut. I remember the one time we talked with him, we said, hey, how about Nate? Well, Nate's not doing it without that offensive line. Then the next week, right. I said, wow, that offensive line must have had a great game. Oh, Nate had a good one, too. So, you know, you've got to have both. And that's what he was trying to, you know, emphasize there, that you've got to have both.
There are too many moving parts in football. You can have the offense playing well and the defense playing well, and you get two block punts, and you're done. I mean, it's that simple. You better have all three phases of the game working and not turn the ball over and stay healthy and all that good stuff. There's too many moving parts in football.
But I still look at the three stats that stick out so much tonight. Bloom Carroll gives up their first touchdown in five games.
Wow.
I'd fire the guy myself.
Marysville gives up its first points in the first half all season.
Year.
All season.
They stink.
Pickerington Central allows zero passing yards tonight. I mean, those are all defensive
stats,
obviously.
That can't be done.
And all three of those make you just go, wow.
Yep, that can't happen.
And Upper Arlington beat New Albany 41-10.
You know what? Honestly, that's off our defense, too.
Yep.
That's a team that comes in averaging 48.2 points a game. Hold them to 10? Get out of town.
Well, and field position.
And two, you would think Carson Grasok went off. He didn't necessarily. Simon Monahan had 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah, well, you know,
he only threw for 160 yards, though.
Yeah, 10 out of 15. Yeah. Half his passes were touchdowns.
Touchdowns.
So, yeah, but you're looking at that, and he even said, well, Coach Buttermore even said, we wanted to pass a little bit to open up the running game.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's part of the evolution of Central Ohio football, too, because – and it was throughout the state as much, too. But most teams will run, to so maybe you can pass a couple times.
Well, 3 of those touchdown passes, one was a little screen pass, one was a little dink and dunk over the middle that he just split the safeties, and one he actually half-rolled and hit a guy right inside the pylon for a touchdown. So, I mean, it isn't like he was throwing bombs all over the place. He was just efficient. They were just efficient. And when you're efficient passing the ball and you've got Carson Grasok in the backfield, you're good. And by the way, a defense where all 11 hats are running to the ball, you're going to be tough to beat. I'm telling you. So, Brockton's a good football team, guys. That's not a surprise.
So, guys, let's go ahead and run through all the scores. We'll go through the states. We'll go division by division, and we'll start with the regions that have the Central Ohio team. So we'll start Division I, Region 2. Marysville, the 1 seed. They're 12-0. They beat Toledo-Whitmer tonight, 49-14. Next week, they will take on Springfield, who is the 2 seed. They're 11-1. They beat Findlay tonight, 13-0. Division 1, Region 3, Upper Arlington, the 1 seed. They're 13-0. They beat New Albany tonight, 41-10. New Albany's only loss of the season as the Eagles go 12-1 on the year. What a great season for them as well in defeat tonight. Upper Arlington next week, they'll play Pickerington Central. Central is the 2 seed, 27-7. They beat Pickerington North tonight, avenging a loss back in the regular season. Now let's go to Division 1, Region 1. The 1 seed, Lakewood St. Ed's, their 42-0 win over Canton McKinley tonight. They move on. They will take on Medina, 1-2 again next week, 27-14. Medina beats St. Ignatius tonight. Medina is now 13-0 on the year. In Region 4, it's another number 1 seed moving on. Cincinnati Molar, they improved to 10-3. They beat Cincinnati Princeton tonight, 28-21. Next week, they will take on the 3 seed, Lakota West, who upset St. Xavier tonight, the defending Division 1 state champs, by a score of 12-2. Division 2, Region 7, Big Walnut season comes to an end with a record of 12-1. They get shut out tonight by Massillon, 38-0. So the 4 seed moves on. They will take on the 7 seed, Green, who beat Worcester tonight, 21-14. In Division 2, Region 5, the 1 seed goes down. Walsh Jesuit beats Cleveland Benedictine 34-20. Next week, they will take on the 3 seed, Akron Hoban, who beats Nordonia tonight, 35-7. Toledo Central Catholic, the 4 seed in Division 2, Region 6, knocks off the 1 seed, Highland, tonight with a 28-yard field goal. As time expires, TCC moving on, 23-20. They beat Highland. They'll play the 2 seed, Avon, next week, who beat Olmsted Falls 49-21. In Division 2, Region 8, the 1 seed is Piqua. They're 12-0 now. They beat Edgewood 28-21. They will play the 7 seed, Winton Woods, next week. They beat Cincinnati LaSalle 42-25. In Division 3, let's jump to Region 11. Granville, the 1 seed, they are 12-0 now. Gritty performance tonight. They hang on and beat London 15-14. Next week, they'll play the 6 seed, Western Brown, who beat the 2 Jackson tonight, 35-28. Larry, they've done it the past 2 weeks. Can they do it again next week, though, without their quarterback?
They have to lean heavily on their defense. They're going to have to be opportunistic on offense, and they're going to have to be a low-scoring game, which means they have to play great pass defense, because, listen, Brown's going to throw the football all over the place, so you have to stop that.
Good thing for Granville is they've got a great running back in Devin Haley that can help them with that. Division 3, Region 9, the number 1 seed is the defending state champs, Chardon. They're 13-0 now. They beat Canfield tonight, 27-14. Next week, they will take on the 2 seed, 12-0, Dover, who beat Kinston tonight, 24-7. In Division 3, Region 10, the 8 seed, Holy Name, is moving on. They beat the 5, Padua Franciscan, 28-21. Tonight. They'll play the 2 seed, West Holmes. They're 13-0 after a 51-28 win over Rocky River tonight. In Division 3, Region 12, Hamilton Baden's the one seed, 12-0. Now they beat St. Mary's Memorial 45-10. Next week, they will play the 3-seed Bellbrook, who hammers Tippecanoe tonight 38-7. Jumping over to Division 4 now, excuse me. Region 15 is where the local teams are. Bloom Carroll, they are 13-0, 35-6. They knocked off Heath tonight. Next week, they will play St. Clairsville, the 2-seed who beat Meadowbrook 35-0. Lee, can Bloom Carroll win a state title in Division 4?
I think they really can. I mean, they've got it clicking on both sides, all three phases. Coach talked about that tonight. I really think that this is the year that they can win it.
Let's make sure they win the regional first. They got one game at a time starting right now. They're preparing for next week. They have to win this region, but they have everything they need to win a title.
They've slowly progressed, though, there. Otto Coons was a great quarterback a few years ago. They got him into the playoffs. They made some runs. Last year, they go to the state Final Four after winning the region. I'm with you, Lee. I think they have a very good shot this year.
It's about dudes, and they've got a few dudes. Mm-hmm.
In Division 4, Region 13, the one seed is West Branch. They are 13-0. Now they beat Perry tonight 26-19. Next week, they will take on Youngstown Ursuline. A shootout tonight. Not a surprise for Ursuline. They beat Glenville 42-38. In Region 14, Port Clinton, the 4-seed. They're moving on. They get by Sandusky Perkins tonight 19-14. Next week, they take on the 3-seed Van Wert, who hammered Clyde tonight 48-14. And then in Division 4, Region 16, the one seed was Cincinnati, Wyoming. They were undefeated. They are undefeated no longer. They lose to Clinton Massey tonight, the 4-seed, 42-14.
Ouch.
Next week, they take on Cincinnati McNicholas, who gets a 33-14 win over Eaton tomorrow. And then guys 5, 6, and 7 play regional quarterfinals tomorrow night. The local teams, of course, we talked to Milan Smith, the coach of Harvest Prep. They will take on Columbus Academy tomorrow. Also in that region 19, Ironton and Wheelersburg. In division 6, region 23, West Jefferson's in Chillicothe tomorrow night. They will take on Proctorville Fairland. The winner of that one takes on Fort Fry or Barnesville. And then Division 7, Region 27, Newark Catholic is the one seed tomorrow. They take on East Knox. The winner will play Shadyside or River. And then, guys, real quick, I just want to mention this. I haven't really heard anything about this until today, and I was talking to some people up in Cleveland, and they said it's not even really getting a lot of noise up in Cleveland. But Kirtland is in Division 5, Region 17. They have a 52-game winning streak right now. The last time they lost was the Division 6 state championship game in 2017. That was to Marion Local. They're two games away from tying for the second longest streak ever in the state of Ohio, which is Versailles. They are five games away from the longest winning streak in the state, which was Delpho St. John's back in 1996 to 2001.
Well, obviously, Kirtland's not a very good football program, are they? 52 in a row. I mean, are you serious? But it's Ohio. It's the playoffs. Nothing's for sure.
No, and you've got to have some good fortune. You look at a team like Pickerington Central. They're obviously better than Pickerington North, but you know, any given night. But to be on your best 52 straight weeks,
and
that's amazing.
Especially the competition they play. This streak started in Division 6. It's Division 5. Tiger Laverty ain't scared of anyone up there at Kirtland. He'll play Division 1 schools. I mean, he does not care. And they go toe-to-toe with anyone.
Good, solid football program, boys. They know how to play football at Kirtland.
That's just an impressive thing. I can't believe it's not getting more publicity than that. That's very impressive.
Well, it will if they make it to the Final Four or the Finals again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. They need next year to break the record.
Correct.
Yes.
The all-time record, yep.
Guys, this is kind of a sad moment right now because for the final time all year, I guess I'm going to look at you guys. And Lee, I'll start with you like we've done all year, the guru. I guess this is a whole season thing. What's your final thoughts here on 2021 for Central Ohio football?
It's a surprise teams. The ones we thought would be good, but we didn't expect them to be this good. You know, Upper Arlington, New Albany, Big Walnut. you know, those, to see those teams. Marysville, too, quite honestly. Marysville's in a regional final for the first time since 2000. Mm-hmm. When we get to, I guess the one thought I have is, you know, when we start next year, is this something that Upper Arlington, Big Walnut, Marysville can all build on, to where they build it into what Pickerington Central has, build it into what Bloom Carroll's got going at this point? That's my big takeaway.
Well, I said it earlier, the three best teams we thought in Division One are representing Central Ohio football right now: Upper Arlington, Pickerington Central, and Marysville. We thought they were the three best. They are the three best. But if you go to the smaller divisions, gee, it's the same folks. It's North Catholic. Mm-hmm. It's Bloom Carroll. I mean, we thought they were the best. Guess what? They're the best. Now, they may or may not win, you know, but they're the best going in. Central Ohio football is really good football, folks. And if you can't get out to a high school football game, or you want to get out to a high school football game, next weekend's a pretty good time to see any of those teams, because they are great, great football teams.
I know one thing. I'm definitely going to be going to that Pickerington Central Upper Arlington game for sure. That's a that is a big one next week. I'm excited for that one. Guys, it's our second season. Lee, this is you and I's eighth season of doing this scoreboard show. We've already heard, no matter what, the show's going on next year for sure, so that's exciting. We can look forward to that. All I can say, guys, is it is, these Friday nights in the fall, I look forward to them. It's my favorite time of the year and my favorite thing to do. Thank you guys so much. It's been a blast this year.
I look at it the same way. I really look forward to it. I enjoy it. One of the nice things is, through the years, the coaches have become very comfortable with us. And having Coach Wolf here the last couple of years has added a dynamic that we didn't have before, having that coach's voice here. And we talk about some of these teams clicking on all three cylinders. I like to think that's what we've been doing here the last couple of years as well.
Well, I really miss doing the live games that we used to do, but because of COVID, we don't do that anymore. But I'll tell you what, this has been a lot of fun. I'm not sure I want to go out there and freeze anymore. This is kind of nice. And I got my cup of coffee, and if I need a water, I can go next door and get one of those. And you guys do a great job with this show.
Yeah, you know, it's always 72 degrees in here. And then to you, Ryan, man, you know, we don't do what we do without you.
The prep
you
work is fantastic.
Steering the ship. You know, and guiding us through here, you make the job for Larry and I pretty easy.
And Higgy.
And Higgs, when he decides to just show up.
Yeah. Old part-timer over there.
It's like he just got off a bass boat. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. But he contacts all the coaches for us, gets them all online for us. It makes our job a lot easier.
And guys, don't forget, tomorrow and throughout the rest of the playoffs, am820scoreboard.com. You can get the scores and, of course, the great coverage from thisweeksports.com. Will continue all the way through the state championship. For all of our coaches that called in tonight, the three prepping their games tomorrow night, Milan Smith of Harvest Prep, Ryan Aiello from Newark Catholic, Sean Bisher of West Jeff, and then our coaches that won tonight, Justin Buttermore of Upper Arlington, Wes Schroeder from Granville, Wade Bartholomew of Bloom Carroll, Jay Sherritt from Pickerington Central, and Brent Johnson of Marysville. Thank you to all of you guys and all you coaches that have called in throughout the year. Congratulations to all the coaches and teams that are moving on to regional finals next week. For our associate producer, Chris Higgins, and also our other two associate producers, David Alcorn and Caden Grady, who did a great job filling in throughout the year. And, of course, for the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports, and our head coach, Larry Wolf. This is Ryan Baker saying one final time, thanks for listening to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, everyone. We will see you next year.